Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Dave and this is the Trail Talk Podcast. Today we've got a guest. We've got my special guest, my special wife.
Special wife.
One of my special wives. Anyways, this is going to be sort of a different kind of episode. We're not going to talk fitness tech or anything. Today we're going to talk about Jen's first Boston Marathon. So how many days away are we now?
Am I supposed to be looking at you or the camera?
You look at me.
Okay.
I have a problem with that too, so.
Well, you were looking at the camera.
I know, because I'm introing the podcast.
Okay, sorry. What was the question?
Kicking this off to a good start. How many days away from the Boston Marathon are we?
Today is
April 9th. Marathon's on the 15th, right?
Yep, it was 1 week from yesterday.
So 6 days from right now. Yes. You'll be running the Boston Marathon for the first time.
Correct.
Let's talk about that. So let's rewind back to how you got into the Boston Marathon and what your plans were before this race.
Okay. So I guess for anyone who doesn't know how to get into the Boston Marathon, there are several different ways you can get in. One is you qualify and meet the qualifying time called the BQ, if you've ever heard.
Which is it's absurdly fast. I think the women's BQ is what, 320? 315?
I don't know. I know my age group was either 330 or 335.
That's why we need a podcast producer to look these things up in the background.
Jeff, look that up. Anyways, yeah, so you can qualify. Called a BQ, if you've heard that term. I feel like I had heard that for years, but until I started running longer distances, I never really paid attention to how you get into the Boston Marathon. The other way is you can apply for a charity fundraising team. And you have to obviously get selected for that team, and then you have to fundraise a certain amount. And then the last way is you're just, I guess, not say lucky, but you can get awarded a bib from certain organizations that receive bibs, I guess. Like I know run clubs get bibs, and you could probably get sponsored.
Or you could be an influencer and get a bib.
You could. Yeah. Maybe if anyone wants to give you a bib for next year, yeah. Maybe. So I did my second road marathon last fall, and of course, while I was running, I was like, I'm never doing this again. And then I got home and collapsed, and I was like dying on the couch. And my friend Kayla had messaged me a Facebook post that was from the Crystal Campbell Memorial Fund Facebook. And Crystal Campbell was one of the Boston Marathon victims in 2013 from the bombings. And so my friend had kind of known her or went to high school with her and said, you should apply for this team. I was literally on the couch, just dying. I was like totally destroyed. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And I've always wanted to run Boston, but I had this weird, I don't know if this is like kind of like a stigma that people have, or it was just me. But for years, I guess I always had said, well, I would, if I ever ran Boston, I would want to qualify. And I've just been saying that for years, and I still do, and I still think I could someday, but at the same time, I just kind of had changed my mindset to like, well, why not me? All these fundraising people, I would never look at all these people that fundraised and think that they didn't deserve to be there.
Yeah.
So why was I thinking that way for myself?
And the truth is, the vast majority of people out there, when you say you ran the Boston Marathon, they don't really give a shit. how you got in, or like what circumstances, right? There were like, even if you were in the top 10% of women who ran and you BQ'd, or if you were on the Crystal Campbell Foundation, like no one really cares,
right?
And so it's amazing either way.
That's kind of another thing I feel like I'll get into. That's kind of like a separate thing. I kind of feel like, you know, it's all of a sudden I'm running Boston and I'm like being treated like royalty, and I almost feel like uncomfortable because I guess it's that like competitive person in me who's like, well, I didn't qualify, but at the same time, like I said, I just kind of had to change my mindset. And at this point, I've been running for a long time. I've been working really hard. And if I got accepted into a fundraising and I was able to fundraise that amount, That's an accomplishment in itself. And so, you know, I feel like, yeah, why shouldn't I apply? Why should I be holding this over my head? Like I have to be a qualifier.
Before we move any further, if this podcast comes out before the Boston Marathon and you want to donate to Jen's cause, I'll link it in the show notes and in the YouTube description. So you can go over there and donate a couple of bucks. It'll help her out. She's over $4,000 now. Let's get that up to whatever we can.
Anyways, what happened was I saw this Facebook post and I just felt like it was really like speaking to me. It was like, did you just go for a long run today? And would you like to run Boston and in the spring? And I just, however it was worded, I was like, that's weird. This is like talking to me. And so I said to my friend, well, I didn't really like have any intentions of trying to get in, but I'm just going to put my name in. I filled out the application and I really didn't think I would get in. I didn't have like a direct connection to Crystal Campbell. And I just felt, I don't know. I've just always kind of felt like, I don't know, I'm not unworthy. I don't know. I just put my name in and filled out all the questions and kind of just said, well, if it was meant to be, then it will be. And so I ended up the first week in December. I think people usually get accepted early, maybe end of November or early December. Usually by Christmas, I think everyone knows. People can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's generally, I mean, because after Christmas, you need to start training. So mm-hmm. I think it was like the first week in December, I got an email saying I wasn't selected, which I feel like kind of surprised me for some reason, even though I didn't think I was going to get picked, but I kind of just had like a weird feeling about that post. Like I felt like it was like calling to me.
Meant to be.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I was just, for whatever reason, even though I knew probably a ton of people applied to the team, I just felt like surprised or something. Like I was like, oh, I was like, that's weird. I kind of felt disappointed because I just felt like I was going to be on that team.
Yeah.
So anyways, I signed up. I think even before that, I signed up for the Cheap Marathon, which is in Derry, New Hampshire. And that's a week before Boston. It's on a rail trail.
Like a low key, small field, right?
Yeah, it's on a rail trail. I don't know how many people do it, but everyone says, oh, you got to do it because it's super flat and you can, you know, PR. So I had the last fall, I was trying to do a sub 4 marathon. I fell short. So now in my head, I'm like, I really want to do a sub 4. I really want to get it. So this is a good opportunity to do it. So I signed up for that marathon and I signed up to volunteer in Boston because I just wanted to be in the experience. Although I kind of was nervous that I would be like a little jealous because at that point I was like kind of hoping to run it. And I'm like, all right, I need to just put that aside and I'll be 1 week out of my marathon. I'll probably be feeling good that I just ran a marathon. I'll probably be feeling bad for these people because I don't have to do it. You know, I just did it. So anyways, yeah, then I went about my business. I started training in December and I did say to the team, I did respond to that email and say I'm available as an alternate because I'll be training for a marathon anyway if anything happens. So it was a couple days before the Super Bowl in February. I got a call saying somebody had to rescind their bib for the team and did I want to join the team? And I just couldn't believe it. I was like so excited. You remember that day? I was like, my heart was like racing. I was like, oh my God.
I remember the text being like, or you've called me and you're like, do I do this? And I was like, you have to do it. you can't not do it.
Yeah, I was a little nervous just because, mostly because of the fundraising. So this particular team, this organization is made up of some friends of Crystal Campbell and they have, you know, a memorial fund in her name that they do, you know, different things with that money. So it was only $5,000, which I say only $5,000.
That's hard.
It's a huge amount. Yeah. But a lot of the Boston Marathon teams that as I was looking up are like $8,000 to $10,000 to fundraise.
Yeah.
So that's a huge amount of money because that's, you know, that's not just hitting up friends and family.
Yeah.
That's
broadcasting,
doing multiple events,
being a podcast guest.
I'm just mean like not everyone has a husband who has a podcast, but just doing fundraising events and just a lot. It's a lot of stuff. And already in our lives, we have 4 young kids where we both work full time. We're just totally maxed out.
Let me just, pat Jen on the back publicly with the amount of hustle she put in to raise this money. She made custom t-shirts and sold them to friends and family.
Yeah, so that was, I made St. Patrick's Day t-shirts. She,
you did Super Bowl squares.
Honestly, I have to credit my friend Kayla did that. So I had just, me and my 11-year-old son signed up to run a race at Fenway Park, supporting the home base program, which is a program that provides mental health to veterans. And we did it last year and we were so excited. We wanted to sign up again. We signed up pretty early. It's not till July. So I had just done Super Bowl squares to fundraise for that. We only need to raise $500. So I just asked everybody for money for Super Bowl squares. And then I get this call. So now I'm like, oh my God, I can't ask to Super Bowl squares again. And it was only a couple of days to the Super Bowl, which I was kind of panicking. And my friend said, I'll take care of it. And she's like, you think I hustle? Like, she had those squares sold in like 24 hours for me. And that was huge. So I really appreciate that, because that was a good chunk of money. I would say, like Super Bowl squares or March Madness brackets are like kind of easy ways to get money.
It was good timing too, that it was like the Super Bowl was coming up and you just found out about it in time,
but I almost thought it was too late. I was kind of nervous, but she took care of that for me. But yeah, still it was, so I did the t-shirts and then, got donations from friends and family. But I feel like a lot of people have to do fundraising events and raffle baskets.
It's
and
hard. Yeah.
Multiple different things.
And you think you know a lot of people that would donate, but when it comes down to brass tacks,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah. It's like, was it yesterday we had the solar eclipse and Jen had extra solar glasses and she posted on Facebook that if anybody donates today, they'll get some free.
I got a couple last minute donations from solar eclipse glasses. I should have collected them like weeks ago and done that solar eclipse.
I need to show the people what I'm looking at right now, because next to you is Conan in the background, our dog. And if I zoom in on him, I just need to show everybody. Okay. That's it. So that's the logistics of how you got into the Boston Marathon. The good news for you was that you were already training for the Chi Marathon.
Right. I only had to adjust it by 10 days.
Similar time frame. Now, I want to talk about your training leading up to this, because you shifted things up. On the last time we were on the podcast, we talked about the Run with Hal app, which you're using to train for that marathon. But then you ran into some snags with Run with Hal where you couldn't adjust like blackout days and you had issues with it and you wanted more customization. So you ended up hiring a coach.
Yeah. So I was going with that, but I just totally panicked. The second I found out I was in Boston, just panic set in. I had a little trouble with the app trying to adjust, because I couldn't just change a marathon date. It made me redo a plan. Mm-hmm. I had just run a simulation half that week and it wanted me to do it again the next week, which I thought was kind of weird. I ended up calling a run coach from the running club I joined about a year ago, and she was funny. She was like, I'm not really taking anyone new, but you just sound so desperate. And I'm like, 'cause I really was like, help. Oh my God, I started having phantom injury pains, just thinking I'm going to get an overuse injury. I don't know what I'm doing. I totally panicked. And then she ended up saying, don't run another simulation half. And that validated, I just felt like, all right, I really need a run coach. Not that I don't think the Hal app is great. I think it's a great idea. But obviously it doesn't substitute a running coach. So she's helped me a lot. And I feel like I learned a lot just working with her in the last 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Would you
say it's been like, I don't know if your coach will listen to this, but would you say it's like a huge advantage compared to the app you're using, that it's been a game changer for you in terms of like training to have a human being on the other side?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot better. The plans are a little different. I think she pushed me a little harder. And then I was wondering, like last fall when I was using the app, was it pushing me hard enough? I don't know. She definitely pushed me a little harder than the app would have, but I also had the option to, tell her if I didn't sleep at all or I was recovering from sick or some stuff like that, the personalization.
Yeah.
Where I could be like, my schedule is crazy. I can't run Sunday. She could tell me, okay, do this on Friday, do this on, So that was really valuable, I would say.
Let's talk about the anxiety you've had over analyzing every little aspect of this race.
Because
I get to witness it every day and watch her.
And you've been lovely about it. really supportive, but I can tell that you're waiting for it to be over because I've been kind of really obsessing over every detail, and sometimes I have to stop and I'm like, what am I doing?
She's been ordering sports bras with phone holders and new shorts to make sure she can hold her gels.
There's a lot that I didn't know, and I still probably don't know, but a lot I didn't know about the Boston Marathon. So I feel like any of that information I can share, maybe I can. But about, I don't know, a month ago, my friend who runs the Boston Marathon every year, she's just a really great athlete. And she, out of nowhere, just messaged me and said, hey, you know you can't wear your hydration vest to the Boston Marathon, right? And I was like, what? I was like, no. I was like, I didn't know this. Nobody, I don't know. I wasn't looking at the prohibited items on the web. Like, I don't know. I've never ran. Like, I've watched it before on TV. I watch it every year. I've never noticed. I guess it was a thing like after 2013, they got rid of hydration vests, which didn't really make like a ton of sense because the bomber
eliminate the vests in the crowd and not the people running. But
I don't know. I guess it's just a little extra step they took. But anyways, I didn't know this and I've panicked. I've always run with a hard hydration vest. So right away I had to change up. You know, I started using the handheld, which I will admit you were right. For the last however many years, Dave's been like, just try my handheld, try my hand. I'm like, no way. I would hate it. I'll hate it so much.
If it makes you feel any better, I said the exact same thing when I was running ultras. Everyone said, run with a handheld because you don't have to wear a vest, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, no, that's stupid because you have to hold something. But then I realized you don't even think about it.
I remember the days where we went from corded headphones to wireless headphones. And the like, just these little, all of a sudden my hands were freed up. The day I got rid of the armband with my phone and, you know, got a flip belt or whatever. Like, I just felt so free. And I just felt like a handheld water bottle just feels like moving backwards, putting something in my hand. But I did it for a long run. And I didn't mind it. I got like the smallest ones.
You know where the huge payoff will be with that too is if it's hot. At the Boston Marathon, you don't have to have an extra layer on top that will overheat you.
It's true. Yeah. That is the vest is an extra layer. So it works out. But I guess I needed that little push to try that.
For the longest time, Jen has been a hardcore Salomon Advanced Skin 5. She stole mine.
You gave it to me.
Yep. She stole mine. it was a Salomon Advanced Skin 5 set, the black one I used to wear. She proclaimed, and she wore it for every single run. So she was devastated. It was like a real point of anxiety.
It's my comfort zone. It was like, don't take something away.
It was kind of humorous for me to watch because you like legit had it was like a whole day of a panic attack over realizing you can't wear your vest to the Boston Marathon.
I did.
And then she's like did you that day we were talking about getting handhelds for your long run. And you drove to Walmart that day to go buy one so you could do it at your
leisure. Yeah, my friend gave me like one of the Nathan ones.
Yeah.
But just the timing didn't work out because, you know, I was doing a 20-mile run and I was like, I can't test this on a 20-mile run because that's going to be miserable if I hate it. So I ended up trusting the handheld because I figured I could toss it somewhere and come back. I don't know. I ended up not minding it. So that's what I'm going with.
So that's hydration. And then she's been freaking out about clothing.
Well, because I don't have the vest, I would just carry everything
right.
So now I've got this little water bottle. Where am I keeping all my gels? I wear a flip belt anyway because I use it for my phone. I just like how handy it is.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to be, I guess, stocking up my flip belt with gels. I've gotten a lot of other advice, ideas from other people. I bought the sports bra that has like the phone in it, but I don't know if my shoulder mobility is really going to, I don't know.
Do some yoga beforehand.
And then I had the like, Lululemon like leggings. I'm like, I'll wear these will be great. They have pockets, but now it looks like it's going to be kind of warm. So I think I'm going to be wearing shorts.
Yeah.
The running shorts I wear all the time that I love don't have pockets, the extra butt. So it's just,
have you looked at the forecast, like extended forecast?
Yeah, I keep looking. It still looks really good. Still looks a little like 60s, but I don't want to, it's still kind of early.
Oh,
it's still early.
So I'm scared. So I don't want to jump too far ahead, but yeah, we'll hold off on that. I want to talk about like the day of and what the plan is. But before we get there, let's talk about your goals because I'm a little foggy on this still and I live with you. Let's lay this out for everybody out there listening. Jen is running the Boston Marathon on April 15th. And then 2 days later, we board an airplane to go to freaking Disney World with our family.
Not the best timing, but.
So we're going to be marching around. Do you remember last time we were at Disney World? Yeah. It's like 30,000 steps a day in the heat.
Oh, I'm hoping it keeps my legs moving.
Yeah.
I mean.
This is the guy that will need to wrestle 4 children through Disney World if you can't walk. So.
Yeah, the I need you to be able to walk. That was kind of, yeah. So my mom was booking the flight. It's a family vacation. My mom was booking the flight. She was going to book it on Monday. And that was when I had put my name in. I said, Mom, like, just so you know, I'm probably not getting in the Boston Marathon, but I did put my name in. And if I get picked, like, I'm running it. So she booked it for Wednesday. And then, so I didn't get picked. I'm like, all right, this is for the better. I'll have a little bit of recovery time. And before we get on the plane, whatever. But then I did get picked, and obviously, like, I'm running the Boston Marathon if I have the chance to.
Yeah.
So yeah, the timing's not great, but hopefully I don't kill myself. So yeah, that brings, I guess, to my next point you mentioned. What are my
What's the goal?
So originally I had said on, you know, in the fall, I tried to get that sub-4 and I didn't. I think I could if I was running the cheap marathon, which actually just got, it was supposed to be last Saturday. It got canceled because we got snow up here in New England, and they rescheduled it for a while we're in Disney. So I was like, oh, thank God. I would have been so upset. I think I could have got the sub-4, but the Boston Marathon, everyone keeps saying that course is a beast. And I really didn't know like what they were talking about until I only did the one training run so far. There's so many people that have run a million times. They've been telling me, like, the downhills, the this, the that, you got to do this, go out slow. Just everyone's had so much advice. But my one experience was just that one course training run, and it was really hard.
Yeah.
The elevation didn't seem like that much. I did the first 20 or 21 miles, and I didn't even get to Heartbreak Hill, I don't think, because I think that's a 21.
That's right, near the end.
But there was, I was kind of going uphill at the end, but I don't know. Anyways, my quads killed, and I think it was from the downhill, and I just kind of got this guy. I felt really destroyed after that training run. I got a little discouraged and started kind of thinking.
So for the people, the training run, she ran the course with a bunch of her friends. You did miles.
Yeah, with my running club, we ran.
Did you start at Hopkinton?
We started at the start, 20. I think I did 20 and a half and then ran back a little. But it was really, it was a lot harder than I thought.
I mean, we live.
Everyone's probably rolling their eyes if you run Boston before, but I was like.
Well, we live in a pretty flat town,
yeah,
and we train typically near our house because we have kids, so...
Yeah, I immediately panicked that I haven't been training on enough elevation.
That last run you did with me, though,
we got some good elevation. It was
like 600 or 700 feet of elevation gain.
But...
actually, we got 900 feet of gain on that run.
Yeah, so anyways, yeah. I don't know. I don't think I want to go for sub-4 just because I don't want to kill myself. I don't want to blow... My family's coming to watch. I don't want to blow by them. Like, I mean, I probably won't suffer too long because, but I
think it's going to be a game day's decision.
I
like
think
if you
so
feel,
too.
If you feel great, you're going to hit the gas.
Yeah, if I'm feeling really good, I probably will, but it's hard. I don't want to ruin the experience and I don't want to bonk. That was like the worst at the last marathon. Yeah. I think a lot had to do with my being dehydrated. I don't know, but I don't want to crawl past the finish line. I mean, I'm sure most people are kind of crawling, but you want a little bit of like a win to like, I don't know. I don't want to bonk. I don't want to be destroyed after. I don't want to feel sick after. I probably will. Mm. And I want to be able to walk at Disney. So I don't know. I'm keep going flip flopping. I keep going back and forth. Should I just kind of relax and not worry about the time and just enjoy it? Should I go hit the gas a little bit so I get a decent time, but not go crazy? But then will I be annoyed if I get just over 4? I don't know what to do.
So the question is sub-4 or not. But then the other question is, what's your PR for a marathon? Was that the last of the Loco one?
Yeah. Well, the only two road marathons I did, the very first one, I did 4.5 hours.
So you could consider it. It could be a win-win if you look at it like you could PR or you could go sub-4, and those could be your AB goals, you know?
I guess.
Like if you did 4:10, 4:20 or something like that.
I don't know. I just want to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But also, am I going to be kicking myself after if my time's not great and be like, oh, I just had my one chance to run the Boston Marathon. I could have done better, but I chose not to. Like I'm assuming a lot of runners can resonate with that.
Yeah.
Like, competitiveness with themselves.
The Disney thing really does throw a wrench in the spokes because it's like knowing that's kind of looming over you. And I can even imagine, I don't even want to put this in your head, But like mid race, you're running, and if you're like dying and you're trying to hit that pace to go sub four, are you in your back of your mind going to like start thinking, how am I going to get the kids here? Or no. How am I going to board an airplane? I just wonder, no. Like that hits me sometimes, going. Like mid ultra, I'll be like, oh man, I have plans this weekend, or like I have to help when I get home. Or in the case, the 50K I ran in California, I was like, I get through the airport and get back into my car. And like those things yeah, are things you have to think about.
If I'm already going fast halfway through, am I going to be like, I just don't want to have regrets either way. I could go slow and have regrets that I didn't put more into it and get a better time. Or I could go fast and kill myself and then have regrets that I didn't enjoy the experience enough because I was pushed just having my watch drive me the whole time and I didn't even look up, you know?
It is kind of funny.
So though, I don't know what's worse.
You're such a planner. Like you need things, even this podcast. She's like, we're starting at 1:30.
And you wouldn't tell me anything about what we were talking about.
Because my notes are empty. By the way. Notice how I haven't looked at my phone yet. But the fact that you're such a planner, I feel like before you even step foot across the starting line, you're going to want to know what you're doing that day.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't. So we'll see. I mean, I have a general idea of how I'm going to run, but.
Are you going to try to hang with friends, like people you know with the run club?
I don't really know. Well, a lot of the run club are really fast athletes that qualified. And then I know just the handful that I met that I ran with my training run. It seems like I might be faster than some, a little bit faster than some. I don't think I'm going to try and hang. I don't think there's anyone I know that's close enough to my pace and in my wave or corral, whatever, that I would try and stick with. If they were they're a little like faster than me, I'd be like, oh, maybe that'll help. But I don't know. I'm not going to run with any. I'm thinking I might find a stranger that might be going for a 4-hour marathon that I could run with.
And they have pacers there, right? Like with the signs.
I would assume so. Boston? I've never, if you can believe, have you ever gone there?
No.
I feel embarrassed to say that because I've watched it every year since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I've watched it on TV. It's a huge day.
Yeah.
I've never gone in.
We live like, I don't know, 30 minutes from there.
It's just not huge with crowds. It's stressful. And this is like a big step out of my comfort zone to be doing this. So I think that's what's been contributing to some of my anxiety, is not just the race anxiety, but the fact that it's a huge event and I don't leave our town.
Yeah, often. I think last year we went and did the VO2 max test in Boston.
Yeah.
So that was the closest I've ever been to the event.
Yeah.
And it was really cool because they already had the
it was the expo weekend.
Yeah. So they had like the starting line set up or the finish line set up. They had like a bunch of tents and stuff and like events happening.
Yeah,
and
we went like the Saturday before, I think, just to do, that it was just coincidence and it happened to be right there. So I feel like that kind of drove my energy or my desire to run a little more because I was like, this energy is so great and why I wanted to volunteer if I wasn't going to get in anyway, just because I just wanted to be there.
I feel like this is going to be, not to flip it to me, but I feel like I'm going to be chasing her around that day, trying to find her at various spots. And hopefully
we
at the
need
finish
a
line.
Plan.
But I feel like that energy being there is going to give me the bug of wanting to do Boston. Like just like Western States, I always said I never wanted to run it. It's too big. It's too hard to get into. And I felt the same way about Boston. Like they were just such big things. Like I'd rather do grassroots small things. But then I saw Western States and I went there and I really want to do that. It's still really pretty much impossible for me to do, but I want to do it. Now, Boston, I feel like, is going to be the same thing. It's just that, like, such a huge thing. Thousands of people, everyone rooting for.
What is your qualifying time for men your age in Boston? You know?
310, 305. It's like insane.
What do you think you run a marathon in?
3.5, maybe, if I killed myself. If I really killed myself. Maybe with some training.
I bet you could.
Can somebody help me?
I bet you could train for.
I don't know.
The problem is, and I realized this again when I started the last couple of years, when I started thinking like, oh, I kind of want to run Boston. You have to have a qualifying time before September, whatever, 1st or whatever it is. So
that's the hard part.
Even like if I, were to do a marathon this fall, it would not qualify me for 2025. So I don't know. I still have it in my head. I will get faster and qualify. And I think I only have like one more year. And then I go to the next time, the next age bracket.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I'll get a few minutes. I don't know, but it's a That's hard. Marathon training is really hard.
I watch people, you know, through like Strava, I watch people training for Boston, and it just seems like such an unattainable goal. Like friends of mine, Brent, you know, the guy I used to climb with, he trained for it, and then he lost it for some reason. He didn't get in. Oh, he missed the qualifier by like 10 seconds or something.
Like, did he get a BQ? So if you're listening and you're not familiar, there's the Boston qualifier time, and that means you qualify, but doesn't mean you get in, because at the every fall or whatever it is, when people apply, they see how many people applied, and if too many people apply, the qualifying time drops. So this year, I think it dropped by like 5 minutes or something. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a huge drop.
Wow.
I think there was one year even it was 7 minutes. I think the max was like 7 minutes. It was a huge drop. So all these people that, you know, trained for years and years, finally got their BQ and then did not get into Boston.
Wow. I remember seeing those anger posts last year.
Yeah, it was hard. There's a couple of people that were like right on the fall that I think that happens pretty often, because I mean, when you get to that, like you said, when you get to that kind of level, it's very hard to just shave off a couple minutes.
Yeah,
you know, it takes a lot of training.
I mean, seconds at that level is hard. You know, people say, "Oh, just PR by 15 seconds or something," and it sounds like such a small sliver. But to gain 15 seconds on your PR is like 6 months of training or something.
Yeah, so
you know?
I think people get pretty disappointed, and I think that's where I know you're telling me that people are mad about influencers getting bibs, and I'm like, I can see that, but at the same time, that's nothing new.
Yeah.
Media has always got bibs.
How do you feel about that?
I mean,
like, if your bib got taken away and given to some
Well, it didn't get taken away and given to an influencer. Yeah. They were going to get it at the whatever amounts that media that people are going to get. It's not like they stripped bibs from people or could have given people more bibs. I think there's a certain number set aside, I would assume.
Yeah.
And that's that. It's not like,
I think people forget too, like, this has been going on forever. Before influencers were around, it was ABC News or ESPN, people would get a bib to run and write about their race.
It
would be like a media outlet would still get that bib. It's just now media is social media. So,
right. And people don't take that as a serious job if you're like a YouTuber.
Yeah.
Or if you're on Fox News.
Take it as a serious job, people.
I mean, you're both a media outlet, but
yeah.
I don't know. Anyways.
So, mentally now, we said 6 days out, right? Yep. How are you feeling? Are you prepared? Are you ready to toe the line?
Oh yeah, I feel really good. I'm really excited. My only like nervousness now is like waking up with like the flu on Monday or something. And it's funny because I had like my running club did like a little like breakfast event, and a lot of the runners were wearing masks. And I know like one of my friends goes into a full on bubble for 2 weeks. Doesn't win, which I totally understand. That's so much work to have it like get thrown away because you're sick. Unfortunately, I don't really have that luxury having 4 kids. It's not that it's a luxury. It's just like, I'm getting exposed to everything.
She went to an event the other day that was with her run club, and she was talking about how everybody was wearing masks and maybe she should wear a mask.
Well, a couple people, but I understood.
I had to remind her that, we have 4 kids in three different schools. And they're
daycare, yeah.
So we have daycare. We've got two in the same school, and the oldest one in a different school. So you can imagine the circle of people that we are exposed to.
I know, and honestly, I keep saying this and like knocking on wood. I'm like, I just have to have faith that like my one time a year where I get sick, I really don't get sick often, is not going to be on Monday. And if it is, hopefully, it's not something too bad that I can't push through and to at least do the race, but. I think that's my only fear right now. I feel pretty prepared and I'm not nervous. And I've gotten enough information about the logistics that I'm feeling more confident, because that was making me nervous at first. So just getting in, and just everyone keeps telling me the same thing. All these people that have run Boston year after year, just I keep hearing the words, it's a well-oiled machine. It's a well-oiled machine. Like everyone knows what they're doing. You're not going to get lost. You're not going to miss your, start and whatever. So that's making me more confident.
Now, will I get lost?
I don't know, but you're on your own. You are on your own. And I had, yeah, I had the kind of the luxury of joining this run club in the last year. And I had no idea I got accepted into Boston. And again, my friend from the run club was like, you know, just so you know, they get a bus there and they get a hotel after, and you can take a shower at the hotel after. And then go, and I was like, what?
It's amazing.
I was like, oh my God. I was like, I'm so happy I'm in this run. I didn't know, but, yeah, so I, you know, kind of signed up for that. And just everyone's just been kind of prepping me with what to do, what to expect, how to prepare, you know, the throwaway clothes to basically get on this bus. Well, there's the bus we're taking is from our hometown, but I guess there's buses that go from like Frog Pond in Boston to the start. So you would get on, you know, a bus to head to the start, and people wear tons of throwaway clothes to stay warm. And you throw, I don't know if you've never run a marathon, you basically just start racing and just stripping down clothes and throwing them on the street. And then the volunteers go and collect them and donate them to Goodwill or Big Brother or something.
So if you see a Chase the Summit hoodie laying near the starting line, you know where
I'm
it came from.
I'm literally going to throw a Chase. That's what I'm going to wear. So Dave has been ordering.
Represent.
He's been ordering a lot of different merch, trying to see what he likes. And some of the stuff has not been acceptable quality. So there's some sweatshirts that you did not choose because the quality was not up to your standards. And I will be taking them and just layering myself with them and throwing them on the streets.
It's going to be like a giveaway. Like a yes, Chase Summit giveaway.
I usually get warm, like I would say, 3/4 of a mile in. So if you want to go, you know, 3/4 of a mile in, you might find some Chase the Summit merch. But it won't be the best quality merch.
No, it'll be the bad quality. So in terms of after the race, do you have like a plan for recovery? What is the strategy with your coach? Do you have like a plan for, you know, when you start running again? Do you want to train for another marathon? What's post-race?
I really don't know. I mean, I did kind of, I think I took a couple weeks off my last marathon. We'll be in Disney, and then, yeah, I'll take it easy for a while and just see how I feel. It's tough because I feel like after big races, you start, you know, after a week or two, you start feeling like you can go run again, but yeah, that doesn't mean you're recovered just because you kind of feel like it. It takes a while for, you know, a big race like that. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if I'll do another marathon. I mean, I know I will, but I don't know when.
We may need a rental wheelchair for the Airbnb.
I know,
we're staying in Florida.
My friend was like, "Can you just use your medal as like, you know, like a pass to like get a wheelchair?" I'm like, "I don't think so." But but I'm nervous because after the last marathon, I was so destroyed. It was 3 days later. I walked to the bus stop to get the kids off, and my leg just buckled like out of nowhere. It felt like someone kicked the back of my knee. Like, you know how sometimes just walking, I literally tripped, and I was like, oh my God, thank God no one saw. Like, I don't even know what just happened. My leg just gave out. And so now I'm just envisioning walking through Disney and having that happen.
What are you going to do the days leading up? Do you have like a I mean, I know people that have like a structured meal that they eat the day before. What is your plan the day before?
I don't really have too much of a plan except eating bland, nothing that's going to upset my stomach. I did do the calculations for carbs, you know, how many carbs you're supposed to be eating for the 3 days prior. So I'm going to try and hit that. I never really paid too much attention to that, but I've been tracking my food the last couple weeks, and I did notice I really don't eat a lot of carbs for how much I run. So that was
what about all your gels? Do you put those in? You don't track those, do you?
Oh, yeah, I put those in when I do long runs. But I mean, like the days like leading up to long runs where I, you know, need to get a certain amount of carbs. I feel like we don't really eat a lot of carbs. I think when we first started getting in shape or dropping weight like a long time ago, we cut carbs a lot. We started using like the thin, you know, flax rice, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But now I feel like, I mean, you run a lot and we don't eat a lot of carbs to support it. But
what are you gonna use for fueling at the race? Just gels, or do you have other stuff?
Just going with the goos that I've been, the goo brand that I've been using. I would like to try other things, but I'm too nervous to change anything.
So
obviously I'm not gonna change anything now.
You're gonna do the goo gels and then the blocks too?
Yeah. So I have the Cliff blocks, which I sometimes just substitute only because those like kind of taste like candy to me. I like chewing things, and sometimes I just can't. I'm gonna try really hard to get those goos down, but I know like towards the end it's real hard. So I have those just kind of as a backup if I can't do the goos, and then, you know, I have hydration powders, and I have some salt tabs. That's about it. That's
if things go south, you'll be on the salt tabs.
Yeah, I'll probably take one of those at some point, maybe halfway or towards the end. Just
so Jen's historically, I think every time you've run a marathon, you have like this mile 20 to 21 moment of your ankle hurting or bonking or something like that. So I think your criteria for this should be to get past that mile 21 point, and then you can start like maybe pace accordingly to get past that.
And yeah. Then and that's when I think the hills really start.
Yeah, is right.
Like Heartbreak Hill, I think it's 21 miles or something around there. So, which is, yeah, it's going to be it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've never seen the Boston Marathon elevation profile, it's sort of a gradual uphill, right? There's not like a lot of rolling.
Well, the beginning is a lot of downhill, I think. And then I don't know. Everyone says Heartbreak Hill's at 21 miles, but I at like 17, it started going uphill when I was doing on the course. I don't know. Well, I don't really want to know. I didn't even want to do the training run. Everyone's like, you have to get on the course. And I didn't understand why. I said, I don't want to know what it looks like. I don't want to know. I didn't want to be discouraged, and I kind of was. But at the same time, it was like in a good way. I feel like now I'm prepared because I've seen it at least once.
It's going to look a lot different on race day, especially with the crowds and people cheering and adrenaline levels.
But I mean, like as far as the elevation, like,
yeah,
it's kind of deceiving.
Well, I think you've got it. I think you've got it, Jennifer.
Hoping, maybe one day we'll look back on this and laugh at how stupid we were. We didn't really know a lot about the Boston Marathon.
Well, maybe we need to do like a debrief podcast after you do the race, and we can talk about how it went.
Yeah. Definitely.
So you heard it here first. She's going sub 4.
I'm
just kidding. So the AB goal is either sub 4 or PR or just finish. That's ABC, right?
Yeah. I mean, I know I'll finish.
Yeah. I like that confidence. Well, I'm really excited. I'll be chasing Jennifer along the way. I don't know why I call you Jennifer on a podcast. It's very formal. I'll be chasing her along the way. I really don't know how I'm going to spot you. I'm like kind of freaked out about, like, I know I'm gonna be live tracking her. Hopefully we can get something on your phone.
I need so to I know where to look.
And then I need to,
we'll have some spots figured out, because I gotta
wear
know
a bright outfit so I can
look. I really don't know what the finish is like, how hard it is to get to the finish.
It's gonna be hard, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to get in there like super early or something, and I don't know. But that's a me problem. I'll figure that out.
Yeah, I have faith. Yeah. I have faith that I'll see you at least once. And as long as you pick me up at the end.
Yeah. And if you're at the Boston Marathon, keep an eye out for us and say hi. If you're there, we'd love to say hi to you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've been talking for 45 minutes. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of your training.
Thanks.
It's been fun to be sort of in the passenger seat to this whole situation and watch you train on the weekends and wake up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot harder, I think, training for a spring marathon. Sounds so great when like you watch them, and I always watch Boston, but like you see all these people crossing in this nice weather. Well, usually nice weather, except for a few years, but you don't think about how those people were running in the winter and like just crap conditions all winter long.
Yeah.
I've only ever trained now for like fall marathons. So this has been a little bit different. Luckily we had a mild winter, so it wasn't too bad, but I definitely have a whole new respect for people who train for this Boston Marathon every year. It's crazy. It's awesome. It's a great accomplishment.
Yeah. So shout out to all those qualifiers and people running this year. It's going to be a crazy day. I'm very excited. I'm nervous and excited, and hopefully everything goes well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for this podcast, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Everyone give Jen a big good luck in the comments down below. By the way, if you're listening to this on audio only, make sure to go over to the YouTube version, because we've got a video of this. I didn't do all my stuff at the beginning when I talk about, you know.
Sorry, do you want to talk about your merch and your new stuff coming out?
Yeah, I got to talk about that. But first, we need some final words from you. What do you give us? One sentence on how you feel about the Boston Marathon right now.
I just feel super honored. And,
aww,
you know, like I mentioned before, I almost feel uncomfortable because nobody cared. I ran other marathons. I mean, not that no one cared, but like this has just been very different. And I almost feel like uncomfortable that people are like holding me on this pedestal, you know, now that I'm running Boston. I'm like, well, I was going to run another marathon, but
yeah,
no one cares. Everyone cares about Boston. But I just feel very grateful that everyone's been so supportive. And I'm really excited. I can't wait to feel the energy and just be there. So
I love it.
And I think you should do it next year.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's on my bucket list. I mean, I feel like just living around here and being a runner, you have to.
I think once you're there on Monday, then you'll. I felt that like when we were, like we said, when we were there last year, just around the area, I was like,
yeah,
I want to be here. So, yeah. Anyways, thanks for everyone who's donated to my fundraiser.
Go donate. If you haven't done it yet, check out the link.
And thank you to the Crystal Campbell Memorial Fund team for selecting me. I really feel so appreciative. That was made up of a couple of her friends, and they've just been so nice and just super cool. And I just feel like so honored that they picked me and honored that I'm running, you know, in her name and with her name on my shirt. So I'm really, really excited about that. And also want to say thanks to my run club, the Soul Sisters, because they've been like so supportive of this journey too. And I don't know what I would do without them. And then all my other, you know, no excuse mom runners that have been running with me and supporting. And I actually was supposed to run that other race with some of them. So I totally abandoned them immediately when I got into Boston, but they understood. So yeah, thanks to all those people. And thank you for not hating me for leaving every weekend and watching the kids and getting up with them every morning while I run.
That's what I do. My dad.
Oh, I appreciate it because it's not easy. I have a, you know, just a huge respect for people who do this stuff all the time with kids and working. And
yeah,
it's hard.
It's crazy. Shout out to all the parents out there running marathons. All right, friends, that's the end of this conversation. I do have a couple of things Jen just mentioned, alluded to. Check out the new website and merch store over at chasesummit.com. I'm actually wearing a prototype piece of merch that's not available yet, but there's going to be a whole bunch coming soon. Jen knows how I was absolutely obsessed I've been about the new merch.
You've been more obsessed with your merch than I've been obsessed with Boston Marathon.
I've had samples. I've been on phone calls with textile mills.
You do have some good stuff coming in.
Yes.
You have a new item that I'm really excited about. I don't know if I can say anything, but
no, top secret.
I really want one.
Maybe if you're a Patreon member, go over to Patreon. I've shared some sample shots of the new merch coming, and it's only for Patreon members right now. And they'll also get early access to buy before everybody else. So I'm very excited about it. There's going to be like multiple new hat designs, t-shirts, and a lot more. So stay tuned.
Yeah, and he's spent a ridiculous amount of time getting the best quality.
That's right.
It won't be garbage.
And on top of that, the Sunrise Trucker hat is back in stock. I received that the other day, actually yesterday, sent out the pre-orders, and now it's back in the store. So if you wanted one of those and you haven't gotten it yet, go check out that. And one more thing at the merch store, I've got new shipping. This is a huge deal for me. The international shipping in the past has been a huge headache, getting hats to like, you know, Germany and Poland and stuff. And I love that people around the world want to wear the stuff. But unfortunately, getting the stuff there was very expensive. I was spending like $30 to get a hat to the other side of the world. The good news is I've got new flat rate worldwide shipping. I can get a single hat anywhere in the world for about $12 US dollars. And so if you were interested and you were kind of scared away by that high shipping price, go try it again because the prices have gotten a lot more affordable. On top of that, check out the Patreon, join Patreon. Got a whole bunch of things coming to the Patreon very soon. Check out the website. Check out the Instagram. Check out Jen's Instagram that I'll link in the show notes. And make sure
can
to
be one of my 200 followers. Yeah,
and then donate to her cause because it'd be cool to see her fundraiser go over $5,000.
And if you're there, please look for me.
Yes.
And yell my name.
You know what? If you donate to Jen's cause, I will ship you some free Chase the Summit swag. So just make sure when you donate to write something about it, and I'll find a way to get it to you. We'll make that work.
I mean, I don't have like people's addresses when they donate.
But we'll make it work. I'll find them. Then I'll message them on Instagram. Figure it out. I don't know. Message me on Instagram if you do know.
Yeah, let Dave know that you donated to me.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Anyways, this outro has become very long.
We've said goodbye now for 10 minutes.
We've got to get to the bus stop and our daughter just woke up for a nap. So onward to the next one. Thanks for tuning in. And
thanks for having me.
Thanks for being my guest today.
Thanks. Now we'll come back anytime.
Just go back to being husband and wife again after that. All over again. All right, friends. Thanks for tuning in. Bye. I don't know. Do I wave to you or do I wave to the camera? Okay. It's the end of the show.
Bye.